Friends, hear these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. From Luke's Gospel is where we will be reading, beginning at verse 22 and reading through verse 40. It's found on page 889 and 890 of your pew Bibles. And so at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts might be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. It's the word of the Lord. Well, Christmas is over. The main part of Christmas is over anyway. We are actually still in the season of Christmas. We'll be in the season of Christmas for at least several days, but the main part of Christmas is over. Christmas, December the 25th, has come and gone. But we still have some of the decorations up, and we still have our Advent wreath up, and our Advent candles are lit, as a reminder that we are still officially in the season of Christmas. One of the things I love about the Christmas season are the rituals. I love the rituals that are associated with this season. I love the Advent wreath. I love the lighting of the Advent candle every Sunday in Advent. I love it when an adult and a child comes up to do the Advent reading. I love it when we have our service of song where we share the Christmas story and song. I love it, too, when we have our candlelight service on Christmas Eve and have the opportunity to come together and to hear again the story in song, to hear the story not only in song but also just to hear the story read, the Christmas story. But I love it. I love all of those rituals that remind us of Christmas and what this season is all about. It's in our rituals that our spiritual vision is sharpened and focused so that we are able to see the presence of God in our midst and to discern the presence of God in our midst and to discern what this season, this Christmas season, is all about. In our text this morning, it's been 40 days since the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And the Holy Family is on the move again. They began their journey as a result of an edict sent out by the emperor to go to their places of origin to register for a census. And so they went to Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph. And there in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. But now the Holy Family has gone to Jerusalem. It's been 40 days again, and they have gone to Jerusalem to attend to the ritual ceremonies that accompany the birth of the newborn baby Jesus. And so Mary and Joseph are attentive to the rituals surrounding the birth of their little baby Jesus. One ritual, of course, was the ritual of redemption. According to the law of Moses, every firstborn male, both of human beings and also of animals, belonged to God. And so Mary and Joseph traveled to Jerusalem to dedicate their newborn baby to God. They go there to dedicate him to God, but also to redeem him, to purchase him from God, according to the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus. Every baby, firstborn baby, male baby, belonged to God. And one could go back to the temple, to Jerusalem, to redeem the baby, to purchase the baby for 5 shekels of silver. And so Luke doesn't tell us that that's what Mary and Joseph are doing, but they tell us that they go there to redeem him, to observe the ritual of redemption. But there's also another ritual that they go to perform, and that is the ritual of purification. According to the law of Moses, a woman was considered ritually impure after the birth of a baby until she underwent a period of purification that lasted at least 40 days. It was 80 days if she had a female child. But it was after the period of purification that the woman was to go to the temple and offer the necessary sacrifices. And so that's what Mary and Joseph do. They go to Jerusalem, they go to the temple, and they participate in the rituals surrounding the birth of the newborn baby Jesus. Luke wants us to know that Mary and Joseph fulfilled the ritual obligations required by the law of Moses. He wants us to know that those rituals are important, and they were important to all of the Jewish world, and they were important to Mary, and they were important to Joseph. In the Jewish world of antiquity, rituals were a way of praising and honoring God in every aspect of life, in waking up in the morning and in going to bed at night, in what you ate and in what you wore. You were to praise God by observing a ritual. Jesus himself observed the rituals of his people. He was circumcised. He went to the synagogue. He observed Passover and the Sabbath. He observed all of the rituals that were associated with Jewish life. The Bible often tells us that one of the drawbacks of rituals in the Old Testament was that sometimes people attached more importance to the external rituals, to the external practices, and forgot about the internal things that was required of them. They forgot about loving God and loving their neighbor internally, and they thought that simply going through the rituals was enough. And so Jesus often accused the people of his day of hypocrisy, of going through the rituals and forgetting what the rituals were supposed to help us to be able to do. They were supposed to help us to be able to see. They were to help us to be able to see the image of God in our neighbors. And they were help us to be able to understand and see the presence of God in the world all around us. And so Jesus often criticized the people of his day for simply going through the motions and doing the rituals, just as the prophets in the ancient world often criticized the people for simply going through the rituals, for believing that worshiping, simply coming to the temple and worshiping and burning incense and singing hymns was enough. Doing these things without loving their neighbor and watching out for the poor and actually being there to love one another and to love their neighbor as they love themselves and to love God with all of their heart and their mind and their soul. So Jesus often accused people of just going through the motions. But rituals are terribly important because it is through the rituals that the people came to discern the presence of God in their midst. Rituals, of course, often receive a bad rap in our society. We live in a society that doesn't much like rituals. Increasingly, we don't have time for rituals. Whether it's the ritual of coming to church every Sunday and offering our worship to God, or whether it's the ritual of coming together as a family around the table and blessing a meal and sharing with one another as families. We become too busy for rituals, but they are important nevertheless, especially our religious rituals, because it is through our rituals that we acknowledge the place and importance of God in our everyday lives. It is by attending to our daily rituals of prayer and Bible study that we open ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit so that our spiritual eyes might be opened and that we might be able to see things that others cannot see. And so Joseph and Mary, not long after their baby boy is born, go to the temple and participate in the rituals of their people. They go to fulfill their ritual obligations. And it's there while they are in the temple that they encounter two remarkable people, two faithful elders, both of them up in age. One is Simeon, a righteous and devout man. He has been waiting his whole life to see the consolation of Israel. He has been waiting his whole life to see the salvation of his people. God had promised him that he would not die until he had seen the Savior, until he had laid eyes on God's Redeemer. But now he is an old man, and he has seen a lot in his years. He has seen rulers and leaders come and go. He has seen would-be messiahs come and go. He has seen the fortunes of Israel ebb and flow. And perhaps there was time during all of those years when he was watching and waiting that maybe he began to doubt, maybe he began to believe that he might not be able to see what God had promised him. He's getting on in age, but he continues to be faithful. He continues to be devout. He continues to remain faithful to the vision and the promise that God has given him. And so he is there at the temple as Joseph and Mary bring their baby boy to the temple. The other, of course, is Anna. She is a prophetess. Life has thrown her a few curveballs as well. Widowed at a young age, she doesn't let that tragedy diminish her faith in God. Sometimes we experience things in life, things that don't go our way. We experience setbacks, and we sometimes allow those to cause us to doubt God's presence with us, but not Anna. She sees her widowhood as an opportunity to devote her life to the Lord. She never leaves the temple, we are told, but night and day she devotes herself to the Lord in fasting and praying. And at 84, she never lets up. She is still going strong, we are told, in the temple, fasting and praying and undergoing the rituals of devotion in all that she does. But Luke wants us to understand that it is these two elderly people, these two senior citizens, who are able to see what many other people are unable to see or were unable to see. It is these two senior citizens who are able to see the future. They are the ones who are able to see in this little child born in the sticks of Bethlehem the presence of God and the salvation of Israel, and indeed the salvation of the whole world. They're able to see something more than a small baby, but they're able to see the face and the presence of God in this little child that Mary and Joseph has brought to the temple. And so old man Simeon takes the child in his arms, he takes the promise and the future in his arms, and he utters the poetic words, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more people like Anna and Simeon? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more people that had spiritual vision, people who were able to see things that no one else was able to see? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more people who could look at children, all children, and see in them the future? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had people who could look at others, especially those who are most deprived and most marginalized, and see not problems, but see opportunities, see people with potential, see people who bear the very image of God? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more people who could actually see that? It's not that we don't have people who can't see. I remember several years ago attending a conference, an education conference here in the city, and being told that one of the ways that officials decide how many prisons to build in the future is by looking at children. Looking at our children, looking at third graders, and seeing how many of them read on level. And for those who don't read on level, it's a pretty good indication, we are told, that those are the kids who will fall behind and who will be problems in the near future. And so based upon those statistics and those projections, our officials project how many prisons to build. It's the way we see things in the world. It's the way that we look at things in the world. But wouldn't it be wonderful if more people had vision, the sight and the vision of an Anna and the Simeon, the sight and vision who could see the grace and the love and the presence of God in others? And indeed, the grace and the presence of God eminent in our world. We come to this place Sunday after Sunday. We come to this place to participate in its rituals, the rituals of worship, the rituals of Bible study, the rituals of praying. And we come to this place, and we might not be as old as Simeon, at least some of us, many of us may not be. We may not be as devoted as Anna. We may not be here night and day, but we come here. We come here in this place to participate in its rituals, because it is in the rituals that our spiritual sight is sharpened. And it's in the rituals that we are able to see things that others cannot see. Where others see reason for despair and fear, we see hope. Where others see problems, we see opportunities. Where others see just a church building and a collection of people who come in Sunday after Sunday, what we see is the power to change the world. This is the place where we come to have our vision sharpened and to have our sight clarified. I'm reminded of that every time we practice our ritual of baptism. Baptism is one of the two sacraments of the Presbyterian Church, but it's a ritual that we go through from time to time. And sometimes the people who come to be baptized are just little bitty babies, not much older than the little baby Jesus. Sometimes they are adults. From time to time, it may even be someone well up in age, like Anna and Simeon. And for the untrained eye, those people that come forward, what is presented may be just a baby. Maybe just one baby like many other babies in our community. Or it may be just an adult like some of the other adults in our community. People who go to work, go to school, people who go about doing the regular things other adults do. Or it may be an elderly person, just another elderly person who's come forward to be baptized like many other elderly people. But because of our vision and our sight, we know better. We know that the people who come forward are not just ordinary people. We know that they are children of God. They are people who are loved by God. They are people who have the presence of God with them and on them. They are people who have the image of God. They are the future. They are God's future. And that's what coming here Sunday after Sunday and participating in the rituals of worship and study and prayer, help us to see. No matter who comes through these doors, no matter what kind of problems they might be experiencing, no matter what might be controlling their lives, no matter what kind of background they might have, we here have the power to look deep down inside them and see who they really are. They are children of God. They are loved by God. And they are people who are called by God. They are the future. And just as Simeon and Anna were able to see in that little bitty baby, the little Christ child, we too are called to see on all those who come through these doors. We are called to see who they really are. They are people who are made in the image of God and people who God calls to be shaped and molded into His children. Christmas is a time for rituals. And it is a time when we are called to see what the world really is. That the world is not a place that has been forsaken by God. That the world is not a place that is totally dark. But that the world is a place of grace and love and wonder, where the radical light of God's love shines on each and every one of us, promising to transform us into people of God, children of God, children of joy, children of peace, children of hope, children of love. That is what we are empowered to see during this Christmas season as we come to this place to participate in its rituals. We pray that as we continue throughout this Christmas season, that God will help us to see. That God will help us to see who we are, that we have called to be the light of the world, that we are called to be the witnesses that bear testimony to the God who has broken into this world and who has claimed this world, who loves this world, and who has promised to renew this world to God's self. We are the new creation people, and it's through our rituals that we are able to take that vision deep down inside of our hearts. So let us live as the light of the world that we are called to be. Let us live as God's people. Let us go forward and transform this community and transform the world during this Christmas season. Let us go forward with the charge to be God's people as we journey to that place, that future vision where God's future awaits us, that place where there are no more tears, that place where there is no more suffering, that place where there is no more hatred, that place where there is no more strife, but we are all knitted together in love and brotherhood and sisterhood and fellowship as God's children. To the glory of God forever. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you help us as we continue to live into the vision of this season. We ask that you help us as we continue to be strengthened by the rituals of this fellowship. We ask that you help us to live in to what you have provided for us through our baptisms, through communion, through our Bible study, through our fellowship one with the other, through our worship together. Help us to claim these rituals and help us to have our visions sharpened so that we can see what is really real in this world. And what is really real is your great love for the world and for each and every one of us. Help us to live out that reality in all that we do. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.